Welcome to another episode of Profiles in Leadership. I'm Steve Anderson, your host, and I want to thank VGM Advantage for sponsoring these talks. Tonight we have a great guest, Drew Bossen. Drew received his undergraduate and physical therapy degrees from the University of Iowa. He also received a master's in business administration from Ashland College. He has a strong clinical background rooted in the assessment and evaluation of the injured worker. Over the past 25 years, he has worked with numerous organizations, large and small, across the country, providing organizational solutions in ergonomics, proactive safety, and wellness. His strengths lie in the clinical application and systems thinking. Drew has been active in business his entire career. He was the co-founder and CFO of Progressive Rehabilitation Associates of Iowa City, Iowa, for 25 years. He is the Executive Vice President of Atlas Ergonomics in Grand Haven, Michigan. He's on the Board of Directors for iBlades, and he's also on the Board of Directors for PT1. Drew is an active member of the American Physical Therapy Association, having served in many roles, state and nationally, over the years. He is also a member of the American Society of Safety Engineers and Human Factors and Ergonomics Society. He has spoken to audiences across the country on ergonomic system solutions, injury prevention, and corporate wellness. Drew splits his time between Iowa City, Iowa, and Minneapolis with his wife, Annie, of 37 years. Drew and Ann have two grown children, Doug and Katie, Katie is also a fellow physical therapist. Drew and Ann became grandparents for the first time this past year. So that was a big event.
That was a big event.
Yeah.
That was an awesome event.
Yeah, we're still waiting, but being a grandparent.
It changes the game. It truly does.
I can only imagine. Well, we told a little bit in your bio how you started, like most of us did, in coming out of school and starting private practice. What I'm interested in is you had some partners, and then after you've been in it for a long time, you decided to do something a little different, and that probably wasn't easy. So share with us a little bit what you did.
Yeah, if I reflect back on the early days of Progressive Rehab, it was a very traditional brick and mortar clinic system in out of eastern Iowa. We grew up, I think, to 10 clinics, 11 clinics, maybe at our greatest amount. Three partners, along with a joint venture with a hospital that we worked with. As Steve, you and I have known each other forever, and we've been friends, mentor, peers, and for years, I always thought your system, your approach, your expanse was something to long for, and we couldn't pull it off. We found that when we were outside of our sphere of influence in our local community, our region that we served, our effectiveness dropped off dramatically. And so it limited our growth potential. We tried some further extended clinics from come of our base out of eastern Iowa and lost our shorts. And so, you become a little bit hesitant going down that path. As we went down the journey, I started working. We opened a clinic at Rockwell Collins, an avionics corporation in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Very traditional on-site services.
And was that just through a relationship that you had built?
It was covering a football game, and Clay Clawson, happened to be there and work, took care of his son, and all of a sudden we were in at Rockwell. That eventually led, they asked me, this is in the Clinton administration, they asked me to coordinate their ergonomic program across the country, about 20 facilities, 25,000 individuals across the country. That was a really pivot point in my career. It was a guy and a PowerPoint that you're trying to make these changes. But one of the things that I always look at my career, and it's really been in two buckets. In one half of my career, I lived with physical therapists, and my belief is our DNA, yours and my DNA, are very similar. I mean, the folks here at PPS this week, very similar. The second half of this career, I've been working with engineers, and they have a totally different come from into how to approach things and looking at system failures. And so we took that mentality that I'd learned at Rockwell, and we started to deploy that against their population. So versus trying to take care of the single individual, I had a responsibility to take care of a population. Yeah. And so we put in lots of systems, I talk about overlapping and redundant systems to look for risk. And lo and behold, we were able to drop their work comp costs 86%. For them, that was, tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I can
in
imagine,
a day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, thinking that we were pretty smart, we said, boy, maybe we should approach this in a little bit different fashion and see if we could take that out on a national platform. Atlas Ergonomics was launched, failed the first go around, as many large
what do you
ventures.
Mean by failed? You just ran out of money?
We were closing up the boat.
Okay.
And at that time I met another individual, the president of Atlas. Now I'm vice president, Jim. We co-founded the company. Mm-hmm. Jim came in, and Jim's leadership style is much different. He was an engineer, had a lot of work in patents, and so we had some proprietary seating systems that we deployed, and so we patented it, and all of a sudden that gave us an entryway into the office ergonomics world. And we began to partner with channel partners of Herman Miller and Hahn and all the big office OEMs, and it's been a big part of our business ever since.
So how do you go from having this great idea and you grow and you basically crash and burn, but then you kept going? I mean, yeah. A lot of people would have quit.
Well, you ask about my business partners.
Yeah.
That, and that was a
because they were investors in it, and
absolutely.
They absolutely took the hit
it
too.
Was, that came down to one of those meetings that I said, I believe this is going to go, buy me out and I'll go do this. And they paused and said, okay, you really think this is going to go? I do. So they carried on. I mean, this was an entity that went several years before it became cash positive. And so it was a significant investment of trust, equity, energy. And in many ways, my leadership and my direction in the practice changed dramatically. I still did all the kind of the financial pieces, but I wasn't in the trenches in the day to day. Looking back now, 15 years later, it was a very good decision for them and for us.
The vision is one thing. The guts to keep on going, even when you stumbled, is amazing. I mean, it's an amazing story.
It was some challenging times. Honestly, it's funny because partnerships are interesting animals. We came in as friends. We moved to a period of time where we were clearly just partners, and did far less socially. And what's good to know, I would tell you, is that you come out on the other side, and we're great friends again.
Yeah.
And that's maybe that's the best legacy I have in terms of our PT business.
You maintained that. Yeah. That's great. So explain to us a little bit about what Atlas is. For those that don't know what Atlas is, explain. Give us your how do you describe it?
So why Atlas? I'm gonna change the question a little bit. We as a profession, we sit here and we bitch and moan about reimbursement and this regulation, that regulation. We're laden with high fixed overheads, there was a book several years back, Blue Ocean Strategies, and I read that. It really changed my entire come from of how to approach this. In many ways, our PT community, we fight for this competitive marketplace. They call it the red ocean. We're all doing the same thing. There's very little differentiation.
Being competitive, beating each other up.
And it's you're always complaining and moaning about your competitor. And it was just like, in my mind's eye, it was crazy space to play in. And as the book talks about, how do you develop uncontested market space?
Right.
And so Atlas is that. I mean, we serve, I think we're 15,000 cities across the country right now. We have we do workplace safety and ergonomics, I guess is the primary deliverable. We work in a multitude of business segments. We do lots of office ergonomics. We probably cover 1 million lives across the country in office ergonomics. JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, IBM, TD Ameritrade, T. Rowe Price. And those are, we've got software systems that you'll go in and do an assessment, and then we'll have an on-site therapist.
Local and these provider. Are to improve worksite spaces for employees.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, okay. And so then we contract with local providers that can, that you need to go out and make a visit to the local Chase Bank branch sometime in the next 2 weeks, and everyone can fit that into a schedule. So it's a means for cash-based business for the company, for the PT company, and a stream of revenue for us.
And the beauty of that is the companies you just described are paying you directly.
Absolutely.
You're not going through...
Zero. Yeah. We have had, in 15 years of business, we have had zero bad debt. I mean, in the scope of all things. So... we thought when we started that we were going to do office ergonomics and live there, but you can't survive on that.
Right.
I mean, they're steady, they're good income, but it doesn't sustain families.
Right,
as we go forward, we had patented some seating systems in the office furniture space and. At a trade show, and a guy comes by and says, "Can you do that in a truck?" And it's like, I hadn't really thought about that. And that provided an entry into our largest big business segment is transportation. And so today we've got, 10 on-site clinics at one of the largest carriers in the nation. We do pre-work screens for a host of transportation organizations.
So, not to interrupt here, but so the on-site clinics, they're doing
they're
traditional physical therapy as well as the assessments.
Exactly.
And
okay. Yeah, and we do wellness, and we do sleep apnea testing, and so we do what we try to do is add value to that client in any way we possibly can.
They sit on their butts all day and all night half the time.
Until they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I always describe it as the most incredible sedentary occupation until it's not. And when it's not, it's incredibly high demand.
Yeah.
So it's a bad combination.
That then they got to get out and unload
the
truck.
And I mean, you open up a 53-foot trailer, it's floor to ceiling, front to back, and every piece of product is fingerprinted and touched.
And then you get to sleep apnea, which is a huge concern for the trucking
industry,
right?
Huge risk. So we, our biggest piece of business there is pre-work screens, and we'll do, 40 to 50,000 of those across the country. So we do a lot of systems. Paul Welk has helped us immeasurably in kind of crafting kind of the legal component in and around that.
Yeah.
Along with transportation goes warehousing, so we're in several of the Walmart distribution centers, the Procter & Gamble distribution centers across the country. Our industrial software package is, we've worked with Cargill. Cargill's the largest privately held company in the nation, and we've worked with their meatpacking division. And if you can build a software package to look at ergonomic risk in the meatpacking industry, you can do it anywhere. So we've got some great systems, and we have minimal overhead. I mean, we don't have offices.
Yeah, because I think this is a good thing. So what you're going to say here, I'll just jump in, is that I hear what all you just said, and so my mind's thinking, you got like thousands of employees or whatever, but you're using what's out there and your infrastructure is pretty small.
So we probably have as Atlas employees, 25.
Okay.
We have another 20 that work for us full time on a subcontracted basis. We have another 75 that work for us every week on a part time basis, and then we probably have another 500 that will go out and do an office assessment, or on a very intermittent basis.
Okay.
So
it's a very collaborative kind of networking.
A lot of systems built in. Are remote, you get concerned about quality, so we build pathways software systems that, you know, allow a little bit of flexibility, but if you go off the radar, it kind of signals us to look at, to understand what, you know.
So the more traditional leadership mind would say, oh my God, you're herding cats. How do you do that? It's the systems that
we love the reproducibility of it. We want to herd cats, and that's one of the, you know, you think about the traditional PT clinic, and it's like you always have that star performer. Yeah. You've got that therapist that could, you know, can do a back or a spine or a neck in a way that the next guy can never begin to do. Our model is, listen, we don't need a star performer. We need someone that can follow the recipe, the system, the process, and deliver the outcome to the client.
Yeah, which is that's where the friction comes, right? In the sense of PTs don't want to do that, but you're not using PTs.
Well, we are.
Totally.
Yeah, no, you're right. We've got a mix of things, but you know, it's interesting to me. So I've had two businesses. So I've had the traditional brick and mortar PT laden with Medicare regulation, plans of care, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then I've had this group of 10 clinics that serve Schneider National. These guys, Schneider says, take care of our people. If you want to do 3 visits, do 3 visits. If you want to do 20 visits, do 20 visits. There's no... It says, do what you need to do to get these people back. This group is incredibly creative.
Yeah.
They've done amazing. This group is kind of laden with the stuff that takes place every day. And so, you know, in many ways, this is kind of a universal healthcare system. It's we are there on site dedicated to that small populace that of the employer.
And it's not about churning units or churning treatments. It's about...
We get paid hourly. We do no CPT billing. We track them so we can...
Yeah.
But as no... There is no interaction with insurance companies.
Yeah. Is there any shared profitability? I mean, if you save them a bunch of money, do you share in the profits?
We've pitched that many times.
Yeah, that's the hard sell.
Yeah, it will never happen.
Okay. So basically, you're paid for your services.
Absolutely.
But you're
paid at a very, very fair hourly rate.
Right. That's amazing. So let's go back a little bit to, I'm intrigued because you started out by telling us about the DNA, the difference between PTs and engineers. Mm-hmm. What you're telling me, how you did this company, that's not the DNA of a typical PT. In the sense that you took a huge risk, in the sense that you you failed, and then you still went after it, and now you've made it successful. Now, I'm not generalizing all PTs, but that's not a typical DNA of a PT. Well, how did you convince your two partners that this was still a good idea after it failed the first time?
Persistence.
Yeah.
I mean, in many ways, I kind of like a dog with a bone.
Yeah.
I think this is a viable option to go down. We've got to trust. I think that so many PT organizations, they look at the niche market and they stick their toe into it and they say, oh, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and
we're losing money. We're not making money. So
they walk away. We got to a point where I said, if this is going to be successful, I have to immerse myself into this so this can be a successful outcome. And, we began to grow slowly and, we've looking at easy double-digit growth. I mean, it's just a crazy...
It's an amazing story because, as you said earlier, I mean, we're good friends. We've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
I'll admit here on camera, I didn't get it. You came to me talking about him kind of like... okay, Drew, that sounds kind of good, but I don't see how you can make money doing that and whatever. And so, you know, it's the persistence. I know. That's what I'm saying. You're here to tell us. I'm the one who was stuck in the rut, so to speak. So it's a great story. Now, I'll also say that you made huge sacrifices during that time. I mean, talk about a road warrior. How many PowerPoint presentations and speaking engagements have you done over the last 10 years?
I couldn't begin to guess.
Yeah.
I mean, there were, there was a time that I probably traveled 70% of the time away from home. And you know, that's one of those things that, one of the things that we committed to in the business, that if we were ever afraid to jump on an airplane, we should never be in this business. And so we jumped on a lot of airplanes. You know, fortunately, the kids were raised at that point in time and kind of got through all that. But, you know, it was a struggle, but it's better, you know, as we sit today.
Well, I think the point is that, you know, it sounds like a great story, and yeah, we're just persistent, but there's a lot of sacrifice.
There was a ton of work. We had a business partner way back in the day, and he says, I can't wait for the mailbox money, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no such thing. Yeah. There is not a business in this nation that is successful without putting their nose down and just working hard. And without that,
I think that's really true. You know, a lot of books you've read, a lot of books I've read about, you know, people that have made it in business, from the Phil Knights to the Bill Gateses to the, you know, whoever, you know. I think that common theme is kind of what you said. It's like the dog with a bone. It's like they just don't give up, and they're willing to put in the time and effort it takes. Yeah. It's, you know, very few people, you know, get that successful by, you know, betting on something and it just happens. You know, so
I think
that's very true. So let's talk about another business too, because you and I are both familiar with this, and I don't want this to be a promo for PT1,
sure.
But I think a lot of people have heard of PT1, but they don't really understand what PT1 is. So let's just kind of describe that, since we've described Atlas. Let's describe PT1.
You know, again, a series of relationships. You know, I think both you and I, throughout our entire careers, have said we are better when we partner with groups. We are when we are collaborative. When we bring in people into the tent, we can be stronger and move forward. As we looked in the early days of PT1, it was how do we create a buying synergy, if you will, for the PT community. Be that products and goods, be that insurance products. And so, you know, as you're aware, a group of us came together from a PT side, but we didn't know insurance, and we don't know, you know, goods and markets. And so we partnered with some very strong players in that space to for us to maybe introduce them to the PT marketplace, but them to deliver the service that...
And I remember those early days and what we found out about the insurance industry. We were like, what? I mean, it's like the stuff that was done in that industry, and I'm not trashing insurance, I'm just saying that what was done for...
Total games.
Total games. And in the sense of, you know, we are paying more to average out other pools that we have no part of. So once you discover that, then it was like, okay, if PTs don't get sued, and if PTs don't have claims, and if PTs don't do this, shouldn't we then...
Or are we a less riskful health group?
Exactly. So that's put together. Full disclosure here, you know, Drew and I are both have some ownership in PT1, but it was started as, you know, as many business stories go. I think it was on a napkin, wasn't it? You're kind of saying this.
I probably did. You know, it's funny, and you know, those disclosures things are important.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that you know, innovation comes from thought leaders, and you're talking about leadership. I mean, I think it's from people that, how do we craft a better solution?
But then let's go back to what you said before with collaboration. So we get this thing going, we have some success, we're things are looking great, but what happens? We're PTs, we're not in the insurance business. We couldn't handle the back office things that insurance requires.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we collaborated
that was a lesson that was pretty quickly learned.
Because
it's a different ball game.
Yeah. So we eventually sold most of that company that we had started to VGM, who had the back office and the systems and all that kind of stuff. And so again, it's a good collaboration, because we do what we do well, they do what they do well, and then we win-win. And I think that's the lesson here that I'd like our viewers to hear and see you know, you can't do everything yourself. And you know, some people say, well, that's limiting me, but
Nor do I want to.
Yeah, do what you're good at and find others to help where you're not. So, it's
and that, you know, that, and that advice is important for a young therapist coming out, opening up a practice. I mean, you can't be good in all the disciplines to make this business run.
Yeah. So we've heard about the challenges and the big challenges you had early in your career. But now that you're doing well, Atlas is doing great. You're in the far end of your career.
Yeah. Twilight, maybe not
Twilight.
The twilight.
Okay.
I don't know if I like that term, but, okay. But I get it. Yeah.
So what's your biggest challenge at this stage?
So this year, I the game plan was to go to halftime. It's hard to unwind. I remember you and I having a conversation at one point about maintaining a relevance. What I found difficult this year is I was immersed in every decision every day at Atlas, and so as I have backed down, I've had to let go of some of those things, and so you don't feel in the know, and perhaps as much as you once did. The trade-off of that is time. We're enjoying that, and so, but that's I'm figuring that out, I guess, at this point in time, and it's a big shift when you've been immersed day over day, week over, hour over hour in a business.
It is, and I will tell you from my experiences that I thought I had prepared better than anyone in the history of preparation and that everything was fine.
Shocking!
Yeah, and, things happen that you don't expect or feelings you have you weren't sure about, and so it's an adjustment. It's an adjustment. So now, speaking of adjustments, I got to ask you about the grandkid. I mean, that's just like a whole new thing.
We're coming up 10 months, coming up on the first birthday. You know, it's funny. In the early days of this, Annie, she was all in on this thing. You got this little baby, needs everything. I'm like, he's getting fun now, though. Now he's responding to you, and he's crawling all over you, and it's joyful to watch. And you talk about business. I don't remember many of. I remember the big birthdays, but I don't remember the small incrementals, the shifts from crawling to walking. Yeah. I remember the first day that he started crawling, and it was just this mechanical thing. It's like, I don't remember that with our kids at all.
Well, you weren't there.
I wasn't there. It's delightful to be able to relive this, in real time, and to watch your kids struggle. And today the internet, good, bad, or indifferent, boy, they don't make a decision without conferring. I think, oh my God, how did our kids survive?
Oh, I know. We were naive.
I don't know what, by a thread, but they survived.
Well, that's great. Well, Drew, this is usually as we end these things, we kind of this is about leadership. So, what advice relating to leadership? What pearl of wisdom would you give our listeners today?
Don't be afraid to reach out. I mean, don't be afraid to do something a little different. I listen to a lot of therapists that in many ways, they sound as if they're stuck. Yeah. I think there's wide open opportunities, but you have to invest and build it to be successful. I mean, it just doesn't happen. There's no mailbox money. You just have to do it.
It's so interesting you say that, because you're a perfect example of that, as somebody who did exactly that. And I think that's what we need, is we need models. It's easy to hear that, but if you see somebody do it, then it's like, okay, maybe that gives me some motivation to do that. So thanks.
Pleasure.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you.
So, always fun.
Thanks for listening in on another Profiles in Leadership episode. I thank VGM Advantage for sponsoring this, and go to their website, vgmadvantage.com, and also orange.coaching.com, to see the whole gallery of video interviews and also podcasts. So thanks, Drew. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and have fun with that grandkid.
You bet. Thanks.
Okay.